this verse is from 11th Canto, chapter 5, text number 34. It's in the purport of another verse. But we offer our respectful obeisance on the lotus feet of the Lord, upon whom one should always meditate. He left his householder life, having set aside his eternal consort, whom even the denizens of heaven adore. He went into the forest to deliver the fallen souls who are put into illusion by material energy. I'll just go back to the verses that are listed and read the translation. This is 6th Canto, chapter 10, text number 5, 6, 7, 8. The demigods replied, O exalted Brahmanas, pious persons like you, whose activities are praiseworthy, are very kind and affectionate to people in general. What can't such pious souls give for the benefit of others? They can give everything, including their body. Text 6. Those who are self-interested beg something from others, not knowing of others' pain. And if the beggar knew the difficulty of the giver, he would not ask for anything. Similarly, he who is able to give charity does not know the beggar's difficulty, for otherwise he would not refuse to give the beggar anything he might want. Report. This verse describes how people, one who gives charity and one who begs for it. A beggar should not ask charity from a person who is in difficulty. Similarly, one who is able to give charity should not deny a beggar. These are the moral instructions of Shastra. Chanakya Pandit says, everything within this material world will be destroyed, therefore one should use everything for good purposes. If one is advanced in knowledge, he most always prepared to sacrifice anything for a better cause. I read that yesterday, it's a good one. As if at the present moment, the entire world is in a dangerous position under the spell of a godless civilization. The Krishna conscious movement needs many exalted, learned persons who will sacrifice their lives to revive God consciousness throughout the world. We therefore invite all men and women advanced in knowledge to join the Krishna conscious movement and sacrifice their lives for this great cause of reviving the God consciousness of the human society. Great sage Didichi said, just to hear from you about religious principles, I refuse to offer my body at your request. Now, although my body is extremely dear to me, I must give it up for your better purposes, since I know that it will leave me today or tomorrow anyway. And text number 8. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the innumerable beings. Purport by Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this regard, a very exalted example was set by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Concerning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said in the Bhagavatam, what we just read, we offer our respectful obeisance unto the lotus feet of the Lord, upon whom one should accept, always meditate. He left his householder life, leaving aside his eternal consort, whom even the denizens of heaven adore. He went into the forest to deliver the fallen souls who are put into illusion by the material energy. To accept sannyas means to commit civil suicide. But sannyas is compulsory, at least for every brahmana, every first class human being. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very young and beautiful wife and a very affectionate mother. Indeed, the affectionate dealings of his family members were so pleasing that even the demigods would not expect such happiness at home. Nevertheless, for the deliverance of the fallen souls of the world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left home when he was only 24 years old. He lived a very strict life as a sannyasi, refusing all bodily comforts. Similarly, his disciples, the six Goswamis, were ministers who had held exalted positions in society, but they also left everything to join the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivasacharya says, Tattva Tarnama Shesha Mandalapati Shainim Sadatu Chaha Bhutva Dina Ganeshakam Karunaya Kopina Kanta Shrito. These Goswamis left their very comfortable lives as ministers, zamindars, and learned scholars, and joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, just to show mercy to the fallen souls of the world. Dina Ganeshako Karunaya, accepting very humble lives as mendicants, wearing no more than the loincloth and torn quilts, Kopina Kanta, they lived in Vrindavan and followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to excavate Vrindavan's lost glories. Similarly, everyone else with a materially comfortable condition in this world should join the Krishna conscious movement to elevate the fallen soul. The words Bhutta Dayaya Maya Mrigam Daitayeshitam and Dina Ganeshako Karunaya are all convey the same sense. These are very significant words for those interested in elevating human society to a proper understanding of life. One should join the Krishna conscious movement following the examples of such great personalities as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, and before them the great sage Dadichi. Instead of wasting one's life for temporary bodily comforts, one should always be prepared to give up one's life for better causes. After all, the body will be destroyed. Therefore, one should sacrifice it in the glory of distributing religious principles throughout the world. Pretty serious fanaticism. Om Ganaja Mirandasya Ganajana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Sahasagam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shah Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sagana Raghana Tambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha. So in modern day, basically everyone is working hard to try to make their body comfortable. Right. We read yesterday how Dadichi said, well, how can I give up my body? Everyone really loves their body. They always out on distributing books in front of the body shop yesterday. They have a club. Now you can join and then you get 10% discount. It's called Love Your Body. You get a card. Love Your Body. So this is, of course, very attractive. It's one of the busiest shops anywhere you go in the world. It's busy. The mattress shops, the newest, latest pillow to make you comfortable. The car with the such, like that Lexus car. They spent it. So much of their research was to make the driver's seat the most comfortable seat of any car in the world, and it sells very big. But the body is going to perish, and it's going to be miserable anyway, no matter how much nice sleep we get, no matter what a nice bed we get, but no matter what good food we get in medicine. So it should be utilized in the service of the Lord, sacrificing this propensity to just try to enjoy the body, which will just keep one, you know, in the material world for birth after birth after birth. It's just everywhere you look, there's some new shoe or some new thing that's supposed to be much more comfortable, make your body happy. Right? New spa, new club, new, you know, cosmetic, new this and that. And Lord Chaitanya showed us, he took sannyas, and it's saying that his household life was, even the demigods couldn't imagine such a comfortable life. So, not only beautiful wife, but also completely submissive wife. Like, you know, like Sita, perfect in every way. And the mother, very dedicated mother, pure devotee, you know, expert cook, practically the best cook in the world, and totally dedicated to her only son that was still home. But he left it. And when he was a sannyasi, he was very strict, and the smarta, you know, where they're very strict, and he would sleep on just the ground, I guess, and then who was the one? Which one wanted to make him a bed? Yeah. Who?
Jagadananda,
yeah, who was a Satyabhama from the previous life. So he made some sort of a nice, got some leaves or something, and, you know, stuffed and made a nice mattress and a pillow. And Lord Chaitanya was very, very angry. Said, "You want me to fall down, you know?" And the devotees were feeling bad that he was living such an austere life. And finally, since Srup Damodar made a bed just out of some palm leaves or something, it wasn't so very nice, but a little bit, and he would accept that. But he took that, you know, very strictly. But anyone that joins the Krishna conscious movement, it's like sannyas. It's giving everything to Krishna. And these two purports, it really make it clear what the mission is. Whatever we're doing, all the things we're doing are for that purpose, to bring people, you know, to full awareness, to understand that, you know, they're not the body. But not only that, but to understand who they are. And one time when I was first trying to do yoga, there was one famous Swami. He had a very big mission. And I went to his lectures, many, many people, and he had some kind of meditation, and he really brought at least me to some kind of platform that I knew I wasn't my body, but I didn't know what I was. It was like I was in a void or something, just like I learned later when I read the Bhagavatam. I didn't like it, you know. I was just thinking, what am I then? What am I? What am I? You know, if I'm not what I think I am, then, but you're just something, you know, either. Because they want to merge into nothingness, or oneness, not that much difference, Buddhist or the Maya bodies. But Bhagavatam is teaching, you know, we're servants of Krishna. Person, everyone is a person, everyone wants personal comfort. Of course, the ultimate comfort for the body is a soft bed, and the soft bed means there's some company in the bed. Hiranyakashipu, he was attached to gold in a soft bed. And you see there's so many, even that flat that some of the boys just moved into there, and so it had a big bed in one room, filled up the whole room. Yeah. That bed cost 2,000 pounds. You know, it was really heavy, beautiful wood. But it wasn't like super fancy, but it was 2,000 pounds. Some people pay much more, and they have a big canopy, and they have maybe television up above, and now you can, you know, the remote control for all your music and everything, and the bed will vibrate. I was staying in one house and they had this bed where you adjust it and it pumps up to, you know, somehow or other to make it more comfortable. I didn't like it, but they always coming up with so many ways that we're supposed to be able to enjoy the body. Just get this vaccination and you won't get this disease. And even we went to the dentist the other day, and one of the doctors in the same clinic, they had a picture of the face, you know, and all these wrinkles and how he'll take them out, you know, some sort of treatment. So he won't look so old like I look. And, but we're going to be old anyway, and we have to leave the body eventually. So that's what Didichi is saying. You have to give it up anyway, so you might as well give it up for Krishna. Might as well use it in the service of Krishna now, rather than becoming very, very attached. And people that are very, very attached to trying to enjoy their body, as they get older and not so much able to enjoy, or for whatever reason, sickness or poverty, they can't get the pleasures of the body that they're seeking, they go mad. So we have, you know, the most prevalent illness now is mental illness, depression. People can't get the sense gratification they want. And they get stressed out. They're working so hard to, and there's no limit to, you know, what they want. But devotees, they realize by Krishna's grace, and they just want to use it for Krishna's service, for the Sankirtan mission. The Goswamis, everybody knows, the Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were, although they were born in Saraswat Brahmin families, somehow they became ministers in the government of the Muslim government. But they were living like so opulently. They had, you know, we went to their place, you know, they had a whole huge lake, their own lake, and all kinds of things, you know, and palaces and you know, boatloads full of gold, and they had the influence that practically ran the whole kingdom. But they were not attached to that at all. They were mostly studying Srimad Bhagavatam. They were giving charity to all the brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And then they just left it. They just wanted to join Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, and they were, of course, eternal associates. And they just left it all. And in Vrindavan, they were living, you know, nothing. Moving around under different trees, and wearing just a Babaji cloth, and just chanting all the time. And of course, what incredible brain power they have. If you read any Sanatana Goswami's literature, you know, he quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam like so much. But obviously, he must have memorized the whole thing, because there's no way you could be carrying all these books on a computer, you know, anything, right? Now we can have on our phone all the whole Bhagavatam, you know, and look it up, but they had to memorize the whole thing and quote it perfectly and with perfect understanding, in spite of, you know, just moving around Vrindavan forest, living in a cave or living under a tree or living, you know, in a hole in the ground or something. Rupa and Sanatana, they were big, big ministers. Raghunath Goswami was from the richest family in Bengal, and he was the only heir to, you know, so much property and influence. He never cared for it, because he was blessed as a child. Haridas Thakur spent one Chaturmasya there in his village. So he was hearing from Haridas Thakur all the time. So he had only attachment for Lord Chaitanya. And even though his father gave him a wife also that was more beautiful than the heavenly girls and unlimited wealth, and he kept running away. His mother said, you should tie him up. Father said, if this beautiful wife won't keep him, then no ropes are going to hold him back. Nothing will keep him. And finally, he was able to get away, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, when the time came. Other Goswamis were big, big scholars, big, big Brahmin family. and they just left everything. They could have been most prestigious, you know, living very luxuriously, but they just went to Vrindavan and dedicated their life, and, you know, writing so many books. Jiva Goswami wrote something like 400,000 slokas. That's the four Mahabharats. And his Sanskrit was so perfect. Someone said they were in South India and they saw the South Indian Brahmin studying Jiva Goswami's writing. And they asked why, because in South India they have so many great literatures in their languages, you know, by so many great saints. He said that the Mayavadis, they are expert and they can dismantle anybody's, you know, Sanskrit and twist it around, but Jiva Goswami's, they couldn't do that. It is so perfect that nobody can twist a different meaning out of it. But of course he was a nephew of Rupa and Sanatana, and he studied at the big university in Benares and everything, and was the greatest scholar still recognized. So Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and you know everybody along the line. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he gave up family life and everything, living a very simple life but comfortable. And when he wanted to go and preach, you know, people couldn't understand him, why you want to leave Vrindavan. It wasn't for comfort, going to America and having no place, no, didn't know anybody, but he did it. He had to live in different places, move around, and then once he developed a big society, have to move everywhere. Sometimes living luxuriously, sometimes very austerely. Prabhupada lived with his devotees sometimes in one room and the devotees in the next room, and the devotees would have to go through his room to the bathroom, and he put up with all that for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. So we get inspired by all that. And so many devotees have given up so much. Even that one Russian devotee gave up his life. The Russians, the early ones, they were arrested and beaten by the police again and again and again, and they would just go back and get more books and go out again. Never tell the police things like, oh, I found the books in the train station or something. I thought they were nice, so I was distributing them. And they were always, they could never find out who was printing them and where they came from. So these things are what's recommended here. And these particular purports are especially clear and strong, but if you read Prabhupada's purports, you'll find the same kind of thing everywhere. Sometimes it's only one sentence. Every lecture, something like that is there. At least if there's no other hope for the human society. So they were given out to free newspaper yesterday, and the cover said, somebody's £3 billion plan to rescue London. I don't know what the plan is, but, you know, the government's going to give the banks a lot of money or something, you know. That's not going to rescue anybody. It may facilitate a little more sense gratification for some of the people. People are suffering. One fellow stopped. He's a nice businessman yesterday, and he was saying he had the Bhagavad Gita, and then he was on the phone, and he wanted to take the perfection of yoga, and he said, here. He said, talk, tell him what my financial condition is, you know. So I took the phone, and the guy said, zero. He said, I'm in great, but he wanted to read he wanted to read the perfection of yoga. So he was fortunate, because he had read the Bhagavad Gita, so he knew it had some value. You know, and many people, they've seen devotees again and again and again, and, you know, they're getting aware, but there's no limit to how much we need to give our energy at sacrifice means to make it sacred, to use it for Krishna. We don't have to sleep on a bed of nails or something, or wear a, like St. Francis would wear a shirt that was especially scratchy. Right? And, you know, they would not to have any comfort for the body, to always make it uncomfortable. But the tapasya of preaching in Kali Yuga is more effective than You know, devotees are going out in the cold, the heat, you know, getting arrested, insulted, of course also praised, we get everything. But this is what Prabhupada is talking about. This is what Lord Chaitanya did. He gave up the household life, went to the forest. But the forest, what he was preaching, he did travel through the Jarikanda forest, but even then he was preaching to the animals and making all the wild animals dance and chant. And the Prabhupada says, maybe we can't do that, get the tigers and elephants to dance, but we can at least try to get the animal-like people in the jungle. There was a movie I saw when, I don't know, high school or before. It was called The Blackboard Jungle. It's about school teachers in New York City. So the school is like a jungle. The students are so wild and, you know, unruly. And that was in 1950-something. You know, imagine now what it's like. And there was another one called The Concrete Jungle, about the city of New York. So they know that there's a jungle because the people are just like animals. So everyone's out to offer you some kind of sense gratification or try to take away whatever sense gratification you have. Well, either one is you're getting cheated. On one hand, someone's saying, come here and enjoy, come in this casino, come in here, there's nice girls dancing, come here, you can be happy, get this bed, you'll be happy. The other hand, there's pickpockets and thieves and gang shootings and everything else. So if one goes into that with the mission to spread Krishna consciousness in whatever way we can, then we're connected to Lord Chaitanya, we're connected with the six Goswamis, we're doing what they did, following as best we can. We can, you know, I don't think anyone nowadays could write 400,000 perfect Sanskrit slokas, even one, right? But we can try to preach, try to give the Bhagavad Gita to somebody. I went in at Govinda's last night and there was one Indian boy in there, and very nice. So I wanted him to take the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, I have it, I know Sanskrit. My father has a PhD in Sanskrit. And then he started looking at it and he just picked out different verses, and he said, wow, he's exactly the right words he's chosen. Oh, the way he's translated it's so good. So finally he took it. You know, he was saying, my father probably already has it, I don't think I need it, I'll get it next time. Finally, after he looked at a few more verses, you know, he was so impressed with the way Prabhupada, he said, boy, are you doing more of this? I'd like to help on this project of translating, you know. You should have it on the computer. You know, he's an IT, and he said, do you have the four Vedas? You know how great that would be if you could just click. I said, we have the Bhagavad Gita. We have Bhagavad Gita. Got that all on program, so next time we see him, we'll, you know, give him that. So if anyone just takes a look at Prabhupada's books with an open mind, they just become charmed and they want it. And if we take a serious look and we read, we're going to find so many paragraphs like this, so that we're going to think, wow, we better get out. You know, this is a great marathon inspiration. It's because these kind of purports, you know, we've read, and especially when, because when I joined, the books were just coming out one a month or every couple months or something. So, you know, we would just read them as it came and distribute them at the same time. Each new volume, you know. But when we read stuff like this, you know, then we would be really on fire. But sometimes after a while, we don't remember exactly where all these things are. We, you know, we get caught up with so many things. But if we read carefully, we'll find this is a continuing message. It's Lord Chaitanya's life of the six Goswamis, life of all the Acharyas, is charity. Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Padayate. So everyone is actually a beggar. Everyone is begging for sense gratification. They had ultimately happiness. And then, so like it says here, they're needy. Everyone. So that we have something that will help them. We have to try to give it to them. Although most people, you know, they won't take it, they're not interested, they're too busy. But if they see devotees again and again, if we have Ratha-yatra festivals and do things, and you know, they gradually want to know what it is. They get interested. So devotees, they take this mission seriously and give up their life. Give their life. It's not that you have to give it up. We don't want suicide. We want people to utilize their life in Krishna's service. You know, by saying exalted people. So all devotees are very exalted. And doing wonderful things. Yeah. Maintaining such beautiful deities. You know, miraculous things for the Kali Yuga. And bringing so many people to the lotus feet of the Lord all over the world. But there's no limit. There's so many people out there. So many people and so much anxiety. They don't know. They think they know the problem just according to what the news tells them. But it's just all superficial. The real problem is that they're mad after sense gratification. And there's no way you can ever satisfy your senses enough. The more we try to satisfy them, the more the fire just gets bigger and bigger. The desires just increase. But if they get Krishna, they connect with Krishna, you know, then they can be elevated and be in ecstasy. Join in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Join the Sankirtan party, like all of us are doing. It's a great mercy of the Lord, a great mercy of the devotees, that anyone can be a devotee. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee, it was shocking to everyone because he was a chief Mayavadi of the world. Great sannyasis came to study Mayavadi philosophy from him. His son-in-law, Gopinath Bhattacharya, had always been praying, you know, and trying everything, but he would never take it. Finally, by the association of Lord Chaitanya, and by Lord Chaitanya just listening to him for so long, he just realized that his own teachings were not very substantial. You know, he couldn't believe it. How come you're not, you know, don't you understand? You're not asking any questions. And Lord Chaitanya said, yeah, what you're saying is just a big cover-up, you know, the Vedas are so nice and they're just bewildering. And then he said, well, how can you say that? You know, and he explained. And then he knew that only God could speak like this, the way he explained those verses. And then so Gopinathacharya was glorifying Lord Chaitanya and saying, it's so wonderful, it's your causeless mercy that he would become a devotee. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, it's your mercy. Because of the desire of a devotee, Gopinath had such a strong desire that Sarvabhauma would become a devotee. That's what made Lord Chaitanya's mercy work on him. So, like Prabhupada, he had such a strong desire to be with devotees. He went to America, there's no devotees, but he made devotees. He had such a strong desire to see more and more people serving Krishna. He had full understanding Krishna's in everyone's heart. And Krishna can accommodate any number of servants. There's no limit to how much we can do. Everyone can do whatever anyone is doing in the temple, serving the deity, any kind of service, direct or indirect. They're all helping the Sankirtan movement. As long as somebody keeps it going, as long as Prabhupada's books are being read and being distributed, everything is going to, you know, Kali Yuga and the golden age of Lord Chaitanya is progressing also. Part of it is that there'll be all these anxiety, their sense gratification is getting taken away, their economies are getting shaky, right? It's all part of the plan of Lord Chaitanya. So Sapanchatap was very happy to see everybody's sense gratification taken away. And then some people, you know, more people will take shelter of Krishna, realize that this material world is not, you know, a place of unlimited pleasure. There's no pleasure, actually, but they're thinking. Just love your body, you know, it's their motto. Actually, I saw one in Japan also, when some kind of funky fashion shop, it's loveyourbody.com, you know, and that's in Japan, it's in English, love your body, you know, but everybody wants, I love my body, it's so nice, but actually, everybody wants to change their body, we all want to make it look a little bit better, a little bit different, and so they make such a big business out of cosmetic and haircuts, and of course that's exactly following Srimad Bhagavatam also. That they will judge beauty by haircut. You know, so much endeavor for coloring their hair, shaping their hair, cutting it. Or in Africa, they put fake hair. They spend hours and hours, you know. And they do that here, I guess, also. It's big, big money. So that's all predicted in the Bhagavatam, all these unfortunate things, all the corruption of the governments and all the madness of the religious leaders and everything is predicted in the 12th canto, one short chapter. Symptoms of Kali Yuga. And you can understand all the news and all the CNN and all the BBC and everything from reading one chapter. But instead people are watching all day, all night, 24 hours, you know. The same thing over and over again. You know, people telling us how this is going on and that's going on. You know, and so many different versions of who did the terrorist and why. And it's quite fascinating if people get into it. It's unlimited. But for those who are fortunate, they'll be reading Srimad Bhagavatam and understanding Krishna and how Krishna is creating all this and how is to fulfill the desires of those who are foolishly thinking they can live separately from Krishna. It's not not meant to be a permanent place. It's unnatural for the soul to be in the material world, in the material body. But what are we? We have to learn. Jivara Surapoy, Krishna Arangajadas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare one louder, one. Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes.
Raj, you mentioned that one of the six Goswamis was in Ramadan.
Yes.
Which one was that?
Raghunath Das.
And is Zamindas like a
big landowner, like almost a king in Bengal. Zamindar means a big landowner. You know, everybody works on his land and he gets all the tax from everybody. Like a king in Bengal. So his father and uncle were the biggest, richest men in Bengal. Prabhupada gave example of, you know, how much their wealth was, and you know, now it's like millions of times more valuable. But he never cared for him. Then Lord Jitadi told him, just be a good boy and work with your father's business for a while, so he did. And then somehow he got, by Lord Nityananda's grace, he got out of it. After that, Panihati, and Lord Nityananda put both feet on his head, and then he sponsored that big feast, and then very shortly afterwards some mystical arrangement happened where he could escape. And then he gradually, first he was father, when the father found out where he was, and he couldn't get him to come back, so he was sending money. And then so he was using that money to make big feasts for the devotees and everything. But then he thought, I shouldn't take money from materialistic men. So he quit taking it. Then he was begging, and he didn't even beg anymore. He thought, this is, you know, I'm thinking this one's nice, this one's not nice. And then he just started eating the throwaway food. And then Lord Chaitanya was like, and he was especially told, don't eat nicely and don't wear nice clothes. And just chant all the time. Coming from the richest family. So there were people in Vrindavan that criticized him that he was a sudra. So it came from this Zamindar family, so some people would criticize him and say he was a sudra. Which is very offensive. I don't know the exact story. you know, the caste, Brahmanas, or things like that.
You were talking about how Mahaprabhu was able to charm the animals of
Jarikan
in the forest to death. Because I share an experience at the temple, the boys would go to La Jolla to do a big harinam.
Yeah.
And one time there was a chap playing a banjo doing busking on the corner, and he was attracted. He was singing Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
Before we got there, he stopped, and the devotees stayed on the corner there. And he didn't take any books, or he wouldn't take any prasad either. And then after the harinam left, I stayed around and listened to him for a few minutes, and then persuaded him to take a sweet. Years later, I was in Oregon with Lakshman, who makes the Chaiwan Prash, and he actually joined and became a devotee. And he was working on this devotee's house, and he was still playing his banjo. And one day, during his lunch break, he was playing the banjo and chanting Hare Krishna to some Mozart or something, some famous classical tune. And out from underneath the house, a snake came, and it started dancing to the music. It was actually doing like this. And everyone was watching. It wasn't like it was afraid. Snakes are obviously most often quite docile. But it was quite a memorable moment.
Well, yeah, the holy name is Chan. We had a lot of dogs come and chant and dance and stuff. Many stories of dogs, cows, coming to the Bhagavatam class. That cow in Malaysia, she come to Bhagavatam class, and after a while she was bringing other ones with her. Just sit in the back and then leave when it was over. And there was one thing in Elvis, I think, a Bhagavatam recital in one town they have every year. So one bull came one year and would hang around like through all of it. And they were saying, you know, but then it came the next year also, so then they really believed that this bull was coming to hear the Bhagavatam. But the people now are all Dvipadapasha, and we have to work on them, you know. But it's working. So many people are coming around, dancing, chanting, you know, getting books, even reading the books. And the more they meet a devotee, if they already have a book, it reminds them, and they might go home and read it. Because they remember, oh yeah, I've got it, but I haven't finished it yet, or something. So they're just waiting. The whole world is waiting for the devotees to save it. And the Prabhupada's books are done for all of us, so we have to read these books regularly and understand. Okay. Any more questions? Comment? Yes?
I'm wondering, is it a waste of time to know what's going on in the world? Or should you...
Well, it depends. To study it, you know, thoroughly all the time is a waste of time. You know. It's like, it's been pretty quiet lately, but it used to be like whenever I told a devotee I was going to Israel. Oh, it's so dangerous there. How can you go there? You know, there's bombs everywhere. So, no, it's nice there. Even me, one time, I was in a hotel and we were touring around India. And so I turned on that, whatever the news was, and it showed over and over again Israel was a terrorist or something. So I finally, I was freaking out. I called the devotees and I said, how's it going? It's normal. You know, it's like many times you meet a devotee from some country where the news is telling you so many things. It's not like, so who knows what's going, you know. If you watch CNN, you get Ted Turner's American version of the world. And if you watch the BBC, you get British version of the world. And if you watch the Arab has a news channel, so you get their version of it, you know. Nobody, we know that there's birth, death, disease, and old age. We need to know something what's going on just to, you know, to get around. But we don't have to be too absorbed in it. It's something that we're preaching. If, you know, people are so absorbed in that, if we know a little bit the basic things that are going on, we can catch their attention. But then we need to be able to give the Bhagavatam explanation for it. You know, if we can do that, then it's nice to give the, like Prabhupada used to read the newspaper in his early Back to Godhead, and then if he found something he agreed with, he would expand on it and, you know, give scriptural references, and if there was something totally absurd, he would smash it and write articles, because that's what people are thinking about, so it catches their attention, but then you preach to them. Not that we want to be just completely out of it and I don't know, we don't know anything. We have to get around in the world. We don't want to just study and know every detail of 9/11, you know. And nobody really knows anyway. They're still investigating the Kennedy murder and coming out with more reports. Yeah, nobody knows. We just know that it's karma. And it's Durga. Siddhi Pralaya Sanana Shatkareka. Creation, maintenance, annihilation, all these things are going under the control of Durga and Govinda Madhu Purusha Mahamadam. She's a servant of Krishna. Right? All right, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha London Ishvara Ki Jai. Gaur Premanand. Hari Hari.